chapter 12, verse 4. Bible says, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them, in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Lord, we thank You for Your gifts. Lord, we thank You for the gift of eternal life. Lord, we thank You that You come and that You change us, that You infuse us, Lord, with gifts from on high, Lord, that we are transformed in our natural being, that You might You do some miraculous things in us. Lord, it is a challenge to be used by You in a supernatural way. I pray, Lord, that You would bring clarity and understanding as we study Your Word. Your Spirit would touch us and guide us and empower us this morning. We give You praise for that. In Jesus' name, everyone say that.
Amen.
Well, I came out of prayer last night. If you didn't make prayer, I'm telling you, it was outstanding. It's always outstanding, but it was like double outstanding last night. And it was incredible. But I was the last one out. And there was this guy trying to start his Toyota pickup just right there where we put our trash cans. And he's whining, going, man, he's got no spark, he's got no gas, one of the two. And I go over there and I talk to him, you know, and I say, you got gas? Oh, yeah, I got gas. And spark? He says, yeah, I know what's wrong with it. And he pointed right to the air mass meter. And you might not know what that is. Hand up, you know what the air mass meter is.
Yeah.
All right. What it does is it controls the mixture of the gas, the fuel, and the air. So just get the good mix, and it goes into your motor and fires right up, and it works. And he says, I can't get one of these. I said, really? I said, have you been to the junkyard? I'm a junkyard kind of guy. You know, I'm always looking for a deal on these parts. And he says, I've been there. I said, you been to a college? Like $2 to get in? Usually you can find something like that. No, nobody has it. And he says, I go, well, how much is it new? He says, $200. I'm like, really? And then he says, I think I'm just going to give my truck away. I'm going to donate. And I said, wow, we got this church right here. You can donate it to us. And I said, but he goes, you got to get the paperwork and stuff. I said, he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I go, do you itemize? Or do you take a standard deduction? A standard deduction. And I said, you know how much money you've got to donate to get more than your standard deduction? I go, how many kids you got? He goes, I'm just me. I said, still, man, you got to own a house. And I looked up and said, God, if you want to get away this truck, I said, how do you get to work? You know, how are you going to get around? How are you going to buy food? He starts thinking about it. Yeah. It was a Toyota hard body, man. My son would love to have that truck. It had some fender wells on it. I'm looking at it going, man, you gotta just shut up. You know, yeah, they just send it our way. I said, man, you want this thing? And he said, yeah. And he got some starter fluid and he sprayed in there and it started right up. And I went, yeah. Sometimes there's some challenges we gotta go through. We're in a series called Finding Fire. I've been in this series for like 6-7 weeks. And it is a study of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a study of Pentecost. And I hope that you have learned some things about the Holy Spirit. about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, about receiving those gifts and using them. One of the gifts we read about is teaching. And Laura is down there teaching today and has taught lots of times. My wife has taught lots of times. Angie's a teacher. Pastor Scott is a teacher. We have teachers. Aaron is a teacher. We have lots of teachers here. Lots of you flowing in that gift. Karina is a teacher. We've been working on Karina's room. Got a big old TV in there, air conditioner in there, painting that thing. We try to take care of our teachers. Amen?
Amen.
I hope you are looking for those spiritual gifts. I hope you are thinking, because Mr. Aaron said so eloquently this morning, man, sometimes God will call you to do some big things. He says, sometimes I struggle with those things that the Lord is calling me to do. God wants something mighty in you. God wants to infuse your life with supernatural power from heaven. He wants to gift you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to empower you to have impact. And I hope through this series you have begun thinking, man, I want that. I want to be used. I want to be like Laura. He was teaching on Wednesday night. Use a little power on Wednesday night, amen, because you got a crew on Wednesday night. In the middle of class, Lord, this is baptism. I need the power. And that's what it is, man. It is power from heaven to overcome the situation God wants you to have. You are intended to be supernatural. You are created to be supernatural. You have an eternal soul. You will live forever.
Amen.
Where you spend it, that's the question. But you will live forever. You are an eternal being. You are a supernatural being. And God has a supernatural existence intended for you on this planet. But many of us have become accustomed with less, settling for less, living with less. Pentecostal fire. This is something that you want. Now, there are some challenges with Pentecost. Problems with Pentecost. We're going to talk about that today. And Paul says, hey, you know, this church in Corinth is a little bit out of whack. And there are a lot of those that say, oh, we don't want to go there. We just want to give it away. Like the guy with the truck. Nah, too big of a problem. Are you crazy? How are you going to get to work? How are you going to get food? And when the Lord said to us, and we start thinking, well, that whole Pentecost thing, the whole spirit baptism thing, a little confused by it, a little threatened by it. I just don't know if I want it. I just give it away. The Lord says, this is something you want.
Amen.
And he says, this is something I want you to have. Because I need you to do more than you do. Amen.
Amen.
The title of today's message is Problems of Pentecost. I'm going to take a look and overcome. Amen.
All right.
So now we're going to jump up to chapter 14. We skip 13. We will come back for a moment. Bible says, first three verses of chapter 14, follow the way of love and eagerly, say eagerly, would you? And eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He understands mysteries. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. The benefits of prophecy. Moving in the spiritual realm. Paul is a fan of spiritual gifts. In fact, you go back to chapter 12, the very last verse of chapter 12, it says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And Paul, as he's talking about a greater gift, is talking about the gift of prophecy. Paul is saying that prophecy is a greater gift than speaking in tongues. But he describes right here the benefits of prophecy. And he says that prophecy is for speaking to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. That's pretty good stuff. I mean, if you had that, if you were going to start a business and you were going to be involved in men's strengthening, encouragement, and comfort, I dare say you can make some money. Amen? Because people would pay you. Strengthen me. In fact, get personal trainers. I'll pay you. Come, strengthen, encourage me, and help me to lose a little bit of weight. Amen? Prophecy is a powerful gift. It is a gift that is for the church. I want to let you know that tongues is a powerful gift as well. Tongues is a gift in which we get to speak to God. Not bad, amen? I think this is something that we want, amen? And he says that it equips or it edifies the believer. So that prophecy is for the church as a whole, and that speaking in tongues is for the individual believers. Both have benefits. Amen?
Yes.
Let's talk about the benefits of speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians, the next two verses, we will read verses 4 and 5. Says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Edifies herself. We're going to talk about what edify means in a moment. He who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Verse 18, towards the end of this chapter, Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. I think Paul is a fan of speaking in tongues. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
He is happy that he speaks in tongues. This is a spiritual gift. It is a supernatural gift that is for the individual. Paul is saying that prophecy is a greater gift because it is for the group than it is for the whole. And as he is talking to the church, he is saying that the gift of prophecy has more impact for the church because it is a gift to edify or build up all believers. Okay? Now, the word edify there, I mean, I don't know how many times you used edify last week. I think Pastor Scott used the word edify. I actually used edify because I was reading this stuff, but I don't know how many of you actually did. The word edify comes from the word oikodomio. Say that three times fast, Greek word, and it means house builder. So, he who prophesies builds the church, and he who speaks in tongues builds himself. Now, I'll tell you what, it's hard to build a church with weak members. There is a place for each. There is a benefit of each. Both are good things. You want them. You want them both. Now, Paul is addressing a problem in the Corinthian church in which people are speaking in tongues and nobody knows what they're saying. And what he's saying is you guys are out of balance in your services. And correction needs to be made because, quite frankly, everybody thinks you're a bunch of wackos. So, let's get this gift of prophecy and let's get this gift of tongues back in order so that God can be glorified, so that you can be built up as an individual, and as you come together, that the church can be built up and God can speak to each of us. Amen?
Amen.
I lead a rather challenging life around here. Many of you realize that as you step into a role of leadership, all of a sudden, Laura is teaching her second class today. I'll tell you, the devil has been whooping on her. Actually, maybe not the devil. One of his demons, he's fresh present, rape the devil. I don't rate the devil in a way that hope rates the attention of the devil. But, you know, some one of the hierarchy of demonic realm has been beaten on the Lord. Guaranteed. Why? Because she's been having an impact on those children when young. Poor woman is in about 2 months. And she goes, what is this? What is this? I'll tell you what, I get it all. Hits me, hits Lisa, hits all you guys. Yeah. And I need something to build me up. I pray in the spirit, I pray in tongues a lot. And what it does is it takes me right into the presence of the Lord. Amen. We're going to talk about how that works a little bit as we go on today. But and Paul says that when you pray in the spirit, your mind doesn't pray, but your soul prays. And so often we are beat down by the attack of the enemy, and our soul gets depleted. And you come in the spirit, and you pray in the spirit, and you pray in tongue, and your soul prays and gives communication with the Lord. And with me, it's just like an instantaneous hookup with God, and begin to get depleted. God says, you want the city heights, you won't need me. He says to you, if you live in the city heights, you're going to need me. He says, you want this.
Amen.
All right. Paul gives direction for the church. Now we are, again, moving through chapter 14. Actually, my bad. We are going to move back to chapter 13, and we are going to get the definition of love. Why would we do that? Because maybe you've heard of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter of love. In fact, I remember talking with Eva as we were preparing for Eva and Mike's weddings. Oh, I just want to have that in our wedding. And it is probably, you know, one of the most famous scriptures for weddings, you know, because it says, listen, oh, don't you love it? Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not eagerly angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Isn't that just wonderful? It is the love chapter. People go, and people do not realize that it is sandwiched between two verses that deal specifically with spiritual gifts, which I have given to you up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 31, that I've already read, says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Chapter 14, verse 1, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And so in between these two verses is the love chapter. And what Paul is saying, Church of Corinth, church that is a little out of whack, that is a little offline, that has taken my spiritual gifts and are misusing them, and are taking these gifts that are given for the common good, and are directing them in. You are taking my services, where I'm taking to build up the whole body, and you're using them for situations in which you're only concerned about yourself. So, he says, let me tell you about spiritual gifts, let me tell you what they are, let me tell you what I want you to do with them, and now let me tell you how you're going to govern them, because love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. He's talking about the definition of love, of agape love, which is a sacrificial love. So I am giving you these spiritual gifts. I am empowering you supernaturally from heaven, not so that you can take these gifts and turn them into inward on yourself, but you might turn it that sacrificial love, as Aaron said, God asked me to do some stuff, man. And sometimes I'm just going, really, Lord? Really? Because it takes so much time. It takes so much effort. It takes me away from the stuff that I really want to do. Because let me just tell you, God's really not going to call you to do the stuff you really love to do. Because you're already doing that. Now, sometimes you really love to do what He wants you to do. You're already doing it. He doesn't have to call you to do that. He's happy you're doing it, but He's going to call you to do that thing you're not currently doing.
That's right.
Let me give you an example. If my wife was God, she would call my son, Joe.
Joe, the trash can is full. Bob, your socks are on the floor. The end. Close the cupboard doors, please.
Why? Because those are things that are not being done. And she wants them done. I can't think of anything on this. Do you get it? He's saying, look, I'm equipping you in an area of which you've not previously been equipped. Or even, he says, I will equip you in this area that I want you to move into so that you can have incredible impact for me.
Amen.
It's not for you. It's for people around you. And it's for me. Do you want to participate? Have yourself. I'm all about me. You got anything for me, God? You know, crazy. You know the coolest thing that God has for you is the tithe. He says, you tithe. I don't need your money. I got cattle on a thousand hilltop. I have a barbecue anywhere, anytime I want. How many cattle do you got? Connect you up with my cow. He says, you talk. I'll be plugged into that. It's an automatic. He says, test me. You test me. Test God. You talk. And you see that all of a sudden the blight is not removed from your life.
Amen.
Whoa, oh, I don't know if I got faith. Well, it's not really faith. It's just kind of stupidity, folks. Ask somebody who ties if they'll ever go back. They'll say, no way. Are you kidding me? Well, I have no blood.
All right, sorry, this is a side.
Side note, no extra charge on that one. All right, let me get back to another here. Care that is directed at the needs of another puts an outward focus on your life, and it helps us understand why Paul is enamored with prophecy, because everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, their encouragement, and their comfort. Amen? It's an incredible gift to have. We lost a prophet last Sunday. Larry was a prophet. He is celebrating the presence of God as we speak, because he indeed at 10:37 last Sunday was called to be with the Lord, and he was a prophet. And if you have been here any time at all, Larry has not been here for 7 months, but you've been here for the year before, Larry was boom out. The word of the Lord. You know what? We got a new prophet in town. I don't know who it is. God does, and you do. You got to be bold to speak. It's a scary thing. It's not for your good. It's for our good. Can we just say, stop ripping us off, man. Come on now. All right, here we go. An interpretation changes everything. All right, it's a little complicated here. Pay attention. Undoubtedly, this is verse 14, chapter. Chapter 14, verse 10. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker. Basically saying, I don't know what you're saying. and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have a spiritual gift, try to excel in gifts to build up the church. Again, he's talking about prophecy. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. And I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. Alright, so here's the deal. Tongues. Tongues is an utterance in a language that most everybody does not understand. Sometimes it is in a language that some people understand in the congregation. Oftentimes, as Paul said, when you are speaking in a tongue, you are speaking to God. Also, elsewhere he said, calls it in the language of angels. And so, realistically, nobody knows who, what is being said except for God. He says, in a church setting, he'll say, in a church setting, it's out of order. But what makes it in order is an interpretation. In fact, Paul even says that there is a gift, a spiritual gift of the interpretation of tongues. And so what would happen as Larry, or as Chuck a couple weeks ago, actually brought an utterance of tongues, and somebody was saying, what is that? Oh, Margaret, what's that guy saying? I don't know, Fred. But supernaturally, God will give the meaning of that statement oftentimes to somebody else in the congregation. And that would sound just like what Larry did. The Lord is here. The Lord, your God, is with you. I am pleased with you. But I have this against you. Or whatever the Lord would be saying at that time. And so here is this a break in service. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. An opportune time for a message to be given. And this message is given in a language that you don't understand. And if you've been in church, Pentecostal church for a while, you'll be going, hey, that person is speaking in tongues. And that statement will stop, that utterance will stop, and everybody will wait for interpretation. And shortly thereafter, if the utterance of tongues is in order, there will be in that interpretation. And Paul says, when you have tongues with an interpretation, it's just like prophecy.
That's right.
Says that it builds up the whole church.
Amen.
In fact, there are some greater benefits to having tongues and interpretation that we're going to get to in a couple of minutes. Are you tracking with me?
Amen.
Interpretation takes a private gift and makes it public. I want to kind of retread a little bit this private gift, because he says if there's not an interpretation, it's out of line. Basically, he says if you speak out in tongues in a service with no interpretation, you should remain silent. When? The next time. Why? Because what you have done is taken your private gift and you abuse it in a public manner, and that's out of order. What he says is, pray at home. Pray on your way to work and coming from work. Pray as you go. Man, I pray in the Spirit all the time in the line at the market. I don't know why. Aaron talks to God in the shower. I talk to God in the line at the market. I just do it. Sorry, Dan, if you're not done. We get a federal trail out here. Silently, some people get freaked out. Chris, silently? And I will do that, and what's happening is I'm edifying myself. So you have this private prayer language that is given to you for you to edify yourself. Whenever you're feeling down, I pray daily in the Spirit, multiple times. I mean, just like nothing. Just I pray the Spirit all the time. He says, I want you to do that. That's what the private gift is. Use it in a public setting like this, with the interpretations completely in order for the good use. We're going to talk about it in a moment. But when there's times with interpretation, we will Christ. Okay? If you've got a question about this afterwards, please see me, okay? Talk to me, talk to Beth, Paul, talk to my wife, talk to a lot of people around here are familiar. Okay? Am I freaking me out?
No.
You're probably too scared to say, you're freaking me out! All right. I want to talk about a time I was freaked out. I was saved about 2 months. And the preacher on Monday night was preaching on this very topic. I don't know if he was preaching out of 1 Corinthians 14, but he was talking about the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues and interpretation and prophecy. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited about God. I can't find enough church. I can't find enough God, I can't find enough Bible, I can't find enough everything. And I am just lit for God.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
And so he's talking about these things, and he says, you know, the answer is we are going to wait. We are going to wait for the Lord, for a message from the Lord. I'm like, cool. And I will try to be as accurate as I can in this description. But I felt like fire coming up through my feet and going up into my legs. Now I felt a similar thing from when I really truly gave my life to the Lord about 2 months earlier, but it was like head down. And so I recognize this as a God thing going on. And it started coming up in my legs. Lord, not me. And about 3 seconds later, somebody else began speaking in tongues. Now that was about 25 years ago, and that had never happened to me again. Gift of tongues. There was an interpretation. Now, a year and a half later, it was in a chapel setting at my Bible college, and this guy asked somebody to pray. He says, I want some of you to pray. And I felt that same thing. And I stood up and I prayed. And I'll tell you what, I was pretty lit that day. He didn't ask anybody else to pray that day. I think I prayed too long. But I'll tell you what, I was going on to a lesser degree. Pastor Paul, last night, he asked me to pray. And I felt a little bit, not as much, but a little bit of that. And it's going to be time to pray. You know, you can say, no, not me. Or you can roll into it, and it is, you don't know where you're going. You don't know where it's going to stop. We have this cool video of Beth Paul showing on Wednesday night with Arthur Blessed, dude, radical guy, preaching on Sunset Strip in the 60s, and the Lord said, I want you to start carry this cross and go across the United States, and ended up having to carry that cross in every country on the planet. When you say yes to God, you don't know where it's going to end, and sometimes that is just flat out scary. But I trust. I don't trust, I hope. But I know some of you have gotten used to saying, nope. God, not you, God. Got my little world. Got my little mess. I can't give this up to you. I hope as we study Pentecost, you realize that this is really something that you want.
Amen.
I am a little bit long. I hope that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Now you're too long. All right. There should be something for everyone. 1 Corinthians 14:26 and 32. What then shall we say, brothers? He's talking to the Corinthian church about their church service. When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet. Should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who's sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. I mean, you don't need to be flopping around like a fish up here. He's under control. And God is a God of order. The church should be a place of order. And a supernatural place. Amen.
That's right.
So he says there's some things that we should see in church. They're up there on a list. We should have some hymns. Well, I think we have four hymns. Four songs, Sam and Leanne, singing up a storm, filling in for my wonderful wife, who was ordered by the doctor to not sing for 8 weeks. We are 5 weeks in. She did sing a song for Larry's funeral. Nothing like home cooking. Can't wait. Can't wait. Revelation in a word of instruction. And each week, Aaron, Pastor Paul, sometimes others of you will take to the podium and speak to the body for the strengthening, building up. I preach the word. The Bible is always brought forth in this church. Every week, it's been happening.
Amen.
Tongues and interpretation, rather thin. Mentioned Brother Chuck a couple weeks back, first utterance in tongues we've had in many years. A little thin. Paul tells us how it works or how it should work. Two or three prophecies. Two or three tongues with interpretation. There is order. There is opportunity. Tongues, an utterance of tongues in the middle of the sermon out of order. God's already speaking. Been speaking to me since Thursday about what's happening right now. But there is an opportunity. Talked to Mr. Roki that night. I had a word from the Lord. I said, Mr. Roki, I got a word. You got to look for that opportunity because usually the Lord is going to make a spot for you to speak. And you got to hit it. You know what's really sickening? The Padres, man. Runs per game, 3.06 runs per game, the lowest since 1972. Why? Because the ball comes and they can't hit it. The church, there's an opportunity the Lord is going to give you. Gotta hit it. God in heaven, you go, man, I'm holding this open for you, man. You're worse than the Padres. Hit it. Here it is. And he'll let you know, like with me, man, fire coming up. Go. Don't say no. Be bold. You don't know where it's going. You know where it's going. Trust him.
That's right.
Trust him. You'll end up in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
You don't know where you're going. You don't know what heaven looks like. I guarantee you Larry's not sad.
Amen.
You get to heaven, you're going to go, whoa, why did that wait so long? Order and opportunity, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. sometimes I'm just chicken. That wasn't the problem with Corinth, man. People were out of line, just going a little bit bonsai, a little bit crazy. So, let's not choke it. Let's not stop it. Roll in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, why? God wants to get your attention. This is it. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, 20 through 22. Brothers, stop thinking like children. Don't be immature. Regard evil, be immature. In regard evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy is for believers. There is a place for both. God has a message. God wants your attention, whether you know him or not. Talking with Tommy the other day about Chuck, and he goes, man, you hear that guy? Whoa! Now, Tommy's a believer. But I tell you what, unbeliever sits in our midst and hears somebody speaking in tongues. Whoa, what was that? And then here's an interpretation, and he's thinking, God is in the house. Man, there is something supernatural that is going on here. Now, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he should already have your attention. Get a witness on him. And then you get right to the content. You gotta do this.
You gotta do that.
I don't know where that leads, Lord. And he's saying, you want it anyway. Trust me. I'll guide you. Tongues are a supernatural display from God. Prophecy is a supernatural display from God. Both are something. God wants to talk to you. God wants to talk to us. Something we want, amen?
Amen.
Can I get a guitar player up here? The question for you this morning, are you going to say yes, you'll say no. Eagerly desire the great gifts. Something for everyone on Father's Day. I got something for you, God said. But it's not for you. It's for you to give away. Don't say no. So many, there's a problem with the church. The church is all about me. The church, this church. Every member of ministry, we want you to be supernaturally empowered by God to serve others. That supernatural cook. George doesn't even cook. Doesn't even like to cook. Every week I'm blessed by a big old fat burger. His gift blessing me. Yeah. What's your gift? Gift of tongues is like a base gift. Paul said, man, you're not going to make it very far. The Lord said, no, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my witness. Because it's hard to be a witness of power. It's hard to make it through the attack of the enemy. It's hard to make it through building a patio. It's hard to make it through living in this community without supernatural power. He said, I want you to be empowered by my Spirit so that you can make it through. And then I want you to take this gift that is for you, and I want you to begin to pursue greater gifts. A gift that is not for you, but a gift that is for somebody else, and I will supernaturally empower you to take that gift and let it flow out. Now that is agape. You've got to be able to love God, you've got to be able to love the people around you to sacrifice, as Aaron said, man, God, sometimes you call me to do stuff I don't want to do. Lord, I don't want to teach that preschool class. He said,
that I got you, I will equip you supernaturally
this to have an impact on kids that are being raised without a dad. I will be their dad. I need you to introduce them to me.
Amen.
I need you to train them up. It's not about you. It's hard. Put a hug on Laura this morning. She might need it. I don't know. You might not have any hair. Kid's gonna pull it out, or she might pull it out. So when you go and say, you know what? You can encourage her, strengthen her, build her up.
You see how it works. This is what you want. You want this.